First, for the past 15 years, the UW Odyssey Project has given low-income adults access to college-level education coursework with a focus on the humanities. The goal is to help people get access to college opportunities that would otherwise be out of reach.
Emily Auerbach is director and founder of the Odyssey Project. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
We gave a very nutshell description of the Odyssey Project. Tell us more about it. What did you set out to do?
Well, let me tell you first that it's a good example of how a radio show can change lives. Because my co-founder was actually Jean Faraca. She had, as a guest on her radio show here at Wisconsin Public Radio, a reformer out of New York who started a Clemente course in the humanities for low-income adults, showing that if you expose them to Plato and Shakespeare and Socrates and things like that, that transformation can take place. And she was so excited by that, and that was back in about 2000, that she approached me about starting a program here in Madison. What she didn't know is that I would have a personal connection to this idea of giving access to college for low-income adults. Both my parents came out of poverty through Berea College in Kentucky. It's designed for poor people to get a start. And because of that, I didn't want just a great works course. I wanted the whole deal. And so we are trying to take all the students from our 15 years of this project and help them keep going all the way to degrees. We have students who've gone from being homeless to having master's degrees.
Yeah, you've had 15 years now, and congratulations on that,
Thank you.
You're starting to see not just people, you know, succeeding and getting master's degrees, getting jobs and things like that. You're also starting to see second generation people coming through the program, isn't that right?
That's right. We have three of the students out of our 30 this year who had parents who went through our program. And they say that because their parents started talking about college, it's something that now that they want. We also now have an Odyssey Junior program so that while the parents are with us, we're also working with 50 children aged 2 to 18, giving them intensive literacy and arts training.
And a lot of time when we talk about giving access to education, especially to low-income people, there's a thought that, oh, technical, job skills, things like that. Mm-hmm. You say humanities are a key. Why is that?
Well, obviously, the job skills are important, too, and we have an emergency fund to help with things like rent and diapers, and you know, I'm not crazy enough to think that Socrates will pay the rent for you. I wish he did. But I think it's also important to tackle inner poverty and to find a way of reaching people in their soul, in their sense of self-worth. And what we do find year after year is that when people read Frederick Douglass's Slave Narrative or Martin Luther King's Letter for Birmingham Jail or poetry by William Blake or by Walt Whitman, something happens, especially because we ask them to write their own poetry and to respond. We turn Ebenezer Scrooge into a modern-day landlord. And we've turned Macbeth into, we've set that in Chicago. And when you make the arts your own, when you take these great writers and figures from the past and understand their struggles, something happens. And we call it a transformation.
Can you talk about some of the people who have gone into this program? Who are you reaching out to and what do they come with?
We have, for example, one of the men that went through our program some years ago had been born in prison. His mother died in labor giving birth to him. He was in and out of prison himself. He describes himself as a gang-banging thug. But he ended up, first of all, finding religion while he was in prison, and then he found the Odyssey Project. And he said he was reborn. And he is now a minister who is working with men behind bars. We have victims of domestic abuse who are now social workers. We have a refugee from Sudan who just got her master's in social work and is working with families to help them. That's the kind of arc that we see in this program. We have an event coming up on October 26th to kind of celebrate that transformation in costumes even, although those are optional. But we call it the Night of the Living Humanities. It's always the last Thursday night in October, closest to Halloween. But we will have students and staff and donors showing up as Socrates or Toni Morrison or, you know, things like that to kind of show that you can take these figures from the past and make it your own.
And you mentioned, you know, people, this isn't a one and done kind of thing. Talk about how people stay involved with the Odyssey Project, even after they've done the initial coursework.
We have courses for our alumni. We call it Onward Odyssey. And we also have events. And quite frankly, I have alumni in my office almost every day just wanting the encouragement or facing some kind of new obstacle that has happened. You know, if I were married to Bill Gates instead of my husband, and I love my husband, but he's not Bill Gates, but if I were, I would start a 4-year free school for those trying to get out of generational poverty, and we would have built-in housing, counseling, advising, childcare, all those things.
You're not married to Bill Gates. You did get, I understand, a National Endowment for the Humanities grant to help with the Odyssey Junior program you were talking about
Yes.
earlier. What's that going to help you do?
that will give us a foundation for that junior program. And it was exciting because we had a $100,000 challenge match and we were supposed to have 2 years to raise it. But with the change in administration, they were afraid maybe the money would be cut. So we raised it in 2 months with community support. So that was great. But now we got to work on our Onward Odyssey. So that's going to be the target of our October 26th event, is trying to help. What keeps me up at night is worrying about the 400 graduates of the program and how do we keep them going when there's expensive textbooks. And, you know, we have licensing fees. We had students who are charged to be elected to honor societies. Like if you get elected to Phi Beta Kappa, there's a fee to be honored. There's a payment sometimes for an honor cord when you graduate. It's just crazy the way we put so many restrictions for those who are really honestly trying to get ahead but lack the resources.
Talking to Emily Auerbach, director and founder of the Odyssey Project, 15 years now and still running strong, it sounds like. Emily, talk about that issue a little more, about access to higher education, a personal story for you and your family, mm-hmm. and then a personal story, obviously, for the people coming through the Odyssey Project. How hard is it for someone without access to something like the Odyssey Project to have a shot at higher education that they can, you know, afford?
First of all, there's a mindset, because one of my students said that college for him, because no one in his family went to college, it seemed like a chess game where everybody else, it looked like a good game and everybody else was playing, but he didn't know the rules. So part of it is sort of, if you are not from a family that has college kind of built into what they do, sometimes it can seem intimidating. And then there are simply just too many fees and high costs that can get in the way. Also, I have one student in my class from a few years ago who grew up in Madison, went to a high school here, as did I, but she was told, because she was African American, by the guidance counselor, you're not college material. And she talks movingly. In fact, her story is now in the Library of Congress. It was put as part of StoryCorps. We did an interview together. But she talked about what that felt like to watch the white students in their class talk of college, and she was made to feel she wasn't college material. So part of what we're doing, besides the just practical side of helping with the fees for colleges, we're trying to help our students understand their own potential. One of my favorite quotes from an Odyssey student is one who said that the Odyssey Project helped him unwrap his gifts and rewrite the story of his life.
So 15 years, a lot of good results from people, a unique project, but are people around the state or even around the country coming to you saying, hey, can we try to steal some of your ideas?
There was a Odyssey-like Clementi course in Milwaukee. It lasted for 2.5 years and shut down for lack of funding. We do things differently here in Madison. There was also a program that started in Racine and didn't make it. We do have interest from Waukesha and from other areas of the state. I would love to see the program spread elsewhere in Wisconsin. There's a hunger in our communities for access to college and for a warm, encouraging community.
Some of your students clearly are out there doing great things now. What do we lose as a society if we're just taking that talent pool that's out there in among lower-income people, people who were told you're not college material, and don't give them that shot?
Well, I think of my parents. My father went on to be, you know, as a Holocaust refugee, he went on to become a research scientist, internationally known. My mother became a reference librarian and social worker. They were written off, you know, in terms of access to college. And we have hundreds of students who are showing just what's possible if you give access. We do have an early bird registration that ends tomorrow for our Night of the Living Humanities event. And I hope people come. I'm hoping to do a better job with my costume. I've had 2 years of failures as Emily Dickinson and Jane Austen, but this year I'm going to try something different.
Can you spoil it for us, or are you going to try for
I'm
the
not going to say that, but I'll say that Emily Dickinson, I was pronounced to look more like Princess Leia from Star Wars, and that for Jane Austen, I was told my bonnet looked like Martha Washington, so I'm hoping to redeem myself this year.
And is Night of the Living Humanities, this is open to the public?
Yes.
And I don't have a website in front of me. Where can people go for information on that?
They can register for it at odyssey.wisc.edu/RSVP, and maybe you can put the link on your website, but our Odyssey website has information, and it's a lot of fun. You don't have to wear costumes, but I'm going to try to redeem myself.
And briefly, just a minute or so left, what's next for the Odyssey Project?
I would love to see us build more opportunities for our alumni to keep going in school. And so that's my biggest task right now is the Onward Odyssey. We're good with our Odyssey Junior program, with our new grants. We have the new class every year of 30 students. And it's really this growing body of students that want to go all the way to PhDs or master's degrees. And it's like we got something started and now we're trying to keep up with it.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Emily Auerbach, director and founder of the Odyssey Project. We've been talking about the program's educational outreach and impact on low-income adults in the community. That Night of the Living Humanities event takes place on Thursday, October 26th at the University Club in Madison. We will make sure we have a link up on the Central Time Facebook page, and we'll have a link to the Odyssey Project so you can learn more while you're there. Tweet us if you've been through the project yourself. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.